to get more information about the data cube. Do you still have it, Han? Does it remain intact?
I have it. Well, Saulo does. It's intact, Han assured him. And we do need information, Kira said. Will you help us? Tool cocked his head, as if his photoreceptors weren't working quite right.
Ah, yes, the girl. Everyone is looking for you, too. I heard a lot of chatter about you both on the HoloNet before my fusion core powered off.
Why? Kira pleaded. Why does everyone want to kill us over that thing?
Oh, that is nice, Tool said flatly. Very nice, what a relief.
I'm powering your cooling system with my data pad, Saulo said. But once your fusion core is running, I'll need to recharge and return.
Of course.
The data cube? Kira prompted. There's a dead guy with cooked intestines on the floor over there because of it, and I want to know why. Han put a hand on her shoulder.
Easy, Kira.
Once she was on a mission, it was all she thought about. She was like one of Rebalt's hounds with a biscuit. Sometimes that could be a good thing, but other times, like now, you had to feel your way through a situation. And Tool was not going to talk easily, especially if Kira bludgeoned him with questions. To the droid, he said,
You're not supposed to talk about it, are you?
I am not.
This is very important to you.
It is.
You threw the cube to me, remember? Because you trust me. Which turned out to be a smart move. I'm back, and the cube is fine.
What are you going to do with it?
That's why we need your help. Without more information, we don't know what to do.
Wow, said Saulo, shifting through the data on his pad. You've made a lot of improvements. You're like an illegal street speeder, ugly on the outside, but full of surprises.
Han could swear that Tool was beaming with pleasure.
Thank you,
the droid intoned. The cube? Kira prodded. Tool, what do you think we should do with it?
Give it to the droid Gotra, of course. We won that bid fair and square.
She took a deep breath. Okay, let's start there. What is the droid Gotra? Tool said nothing.
I have something that might change your mind about talking to us, said Saulo, pulling a big metal lump out of his pocket.
What is that?
Tool asked.
This, Saulo said, is a Holo Flames attachment.
He flicked a switch. Its tiny projectors lit up, and flames danced all through the room, lighting the walls in dreamlike blue. The blood on the floor glinted slickly.
Oh,
said Tool.
My.
I could program it to contour itself to your shape.
I don't know of any other droids who have one,
Tool said.
You'd be one of a kind, Han assured him.
Suddenly, Tool couldn't talk fast enough. Chapter 11. Kira couldn't believe their luck. First they'd just walked right into the foundry, then Han had smooth-talked his way past that manager at the turbo lift. And just now, Saulo had figured out the perfect way to get Tool to talk. Things like that never happened to her. Things like that never happened to her when she was alone, she corrected herself. But strangely, unexpectedly, she and Han and Saulo were turning out to be a good team.
The droid Gotra, Tool said, is an organization dedicated to droid emancipation.
It's a terrorist organization, Saulo said. Everyone on Coruscant.
You are a victim of Imperial propaganda, Tool said. The droid Gotra has occasionally gone to extreme measures, certainly. But we want nothing more than peace and freedom for ourselves, just like any sentient species.
Tool's voice was completely devoid of inflection, which Kira found unsettling. You could tell a lot about a person by how they talked. In fact, she hadn't realized how much she counted on inflection and affect to read a situation until it was gone. You must be a powerful group, Kira pointed out. To bid a billion credits for something.
That bid stretched our resources, Tool admitted. But it would have been worth it. We started as a loosely connected group of battle droids. Beings who were abandoned after the Clone Wars, or repurposed against their will for other functions. But now our organization is large, consisting of all manner of droids, even a few organic sympathizers. We have been working to establish a cell here on Corellia.
Kira righted one of the chairs and sat in it, turning her back to the mustached corpse.
So you're a droid with a cause, she said.
There was nothing more dangerous than a true believer.
The cause of droid equality is the most important in the galaxy, he said.
His words were passionate, but his tone was as emotionless as if he'd said, please pass the rat porridge. To Su'ulo, Tool added,
I think we'll be able to reactivate my fusion core soon.
Su'ulo made a noise of agreement.
So why did the Gotra want this cube so badly?
We know it's Imperial Shield Generator tech, created by someone called the Engineer. But we can't read the blueprints. Not even Su'ulo over there can make heads or tails of them.
Heads or tails, Tool intoned. I will add that to my repertoire immediately.
At Kira's confused look, Han explained.
He recently uploaded some programming that allows him to speak in cliches.
Metaphors,
Tool corrected.
That's what I mean, Han said.
The way Han hovered over his flat-voiced friend was interesting. He really cared about that droid. He had moved so fast, so unerringly to get inside Tool's innards and rewire him before he deactivated. Han was a handy guy to have around in a tough situation, she had to admit. You were about to tell us about the shield tech, she prodded.
You are correct, Tool said. It is a blueprint for a shield generator. A very special shield generator.
How so? Han asked.
Content that his friend was safe in Su'ulo's capable hands, Han pulled up the chair beside Kira and sat.
It has very low energy requirements, Tool explained. Even the smallest freighters or personal yachts could make use of it at a low cost.
That's not worth a billion credits, Kira pointed out.
I am not finished, Tool said. It's also portable. In other words, you can disconnect it and lug it from ship to ship.
You mean it's not hardwired into the ship itself? Han said.
It is not.
But it works just as well as any other deflector shield?
The skepticism in Han's voice was obvious.
Han, my boy, Tool said. It's military grade. Able to deflect even low-ordnance proton torpedoes.
Han whistled.
Now you see, Tool said. The Empire has a near monopoly on shipped goods, but this technology puts freighter and cruise liner deflector shielding on par with that of a Star Destroyer. All for a fraction of the price. Small freight companies could actually make a living again.
And honest smugglers. Han noted.
Su'ulo said something, and Han translated.
It's a great equalizer, Su'ulo says. It puts droids on the same level playing field as organics.
Playing field,
Tool repeated, no doubt adding the metaphor to his repertoire.
Yes, it levels up the playing field.
Kira didn't think that levels up was quite the right idiom, but she let it go. Her mind was churning with the new data and its ramifications. That's why the Kaldona Syndicate wanted it so badly, she mused aloud. With this kind of shield tech, there'd be no end to their piracy. They could take on bigger ships with more firepower. They'd become the richest syndicate in the galaxy, bigger than the Crimson Dawn or the Pikes. Maybe even more powerful than the Hutts.
Yes.
Lady Proxima has no use for it, Kira continued. No doubt her intent was to resell it at a higher price.
This is a smart young woman you have here, Tool said to Han.
Han said,
I know.
Kira bristled. Nobody has me.
I know that too, Han said.
Still glaring at him, she said, But where did the cube come from? And why is some of it still encrypted? Who... Frustration was causing her voice to rise, which was the last thing they needed. She glanced nervously at the door they'd come through, hoping it was fairly soundproof. Kira took a deep breath and said in little more than a whisper, "Who is the engineer?"
"I don't know her name,"
Tool said.
"No one does. Just that she is an Imperial defector. She was involved in a huge secret project for the Empire. The engineer designed the shield deflector for them. But when she was done, she realized the value of her creation and fled, plans in hand. Her intent is to sell them to the highest bidder and retire anonymously and with great wealth to one of the Outer Rim planets. Naturally, she came here to the center of the galaxy's shipbuilding industry, looking for buyers."
Kira was silent a moment, considering. She noticed Han staring at her.
"What?"
He looked away quickly.
"Nothing. It's just... I like that."
"You like what?"
"When your face..."
He made a vague gesture with his hand.
"Does that thing. It gets thinky."
What in holy moons did that mean? Su'ulo asked Tool a question, but Kira only caught the word for power.
"Yes, I am ready," Tool replied.
There was a slight hum, a few beeps. Tool's carapace jerked as if coming to life. Su'ulo twittered something else, and Han shot forward out of the chair.
"I want to watch," he said. "The servo motor cable looked like it was in pretty bad shape to me. If you can rig it to work, I want to see how."
For a guy who didn't want an education, Han sure seemed eager to learn. While the boys knocked heads peering into Tool's access compartment, Kira said, "Tool, tell me about the auction. Why did it go so wrong?"
"It's clear the Kaldana Syndicate had decided they were going to attain the merchandise no matter what,"
Tool said.
"They are hateful, mechanophobic bigots who would rather start a galactic incident than let droids acquire advantageous tech. So when the droid Gotra won the bid, they started firing, hoping to take the cube by force, or at least keep me from handing it over to my superiors."
"But you threw it to Han instead."
"He is a good kid," Tool said. "And he knows the sewers like the back of his hand. That is a ridiculous metaphor, by the way. I've never observed humans studying the backs of their hands."
"The Kaldona went after him hard," Kira said. "We still might die because of this."
"You are angry I put Han at risk," Tool said.
"Yes," Kira said. Han grinned.
"She cares about me."
"Don't flatter yourself. I'm angry on behalf of all of us," Kira clarified.
"It was an easy choice," Tool said. "If the Kaldana got their hands on that tech, it would put a stranglehold on Corellia's already sputtering economy. So it's better for the whole system, and it's better for the cause of droid equality, to keep it away from them. Of course I'm willing to sacrifice a few organics for all that."
Han was giving Tool a funny look, like he felt betrayed. Kira didn't know what Han had expected. Of course, Tool considered him expendable, just like Lady Proxima. Everyone always stabbed everyone else in the back, when the circumstances were right.
"Mikana!"
Su'ulo bleated out something. Han said,
"He wants to know about the encryption."
"Oh, right," Kira said. "Tool, those plans are encrypted. Getting a hold of the data cube isn't going to help anyone."
"You are correct," the droid said. "The engineer had agreed to contact the winning bidder and give them the encryption key. But as you know, the deal went bad. I'm sure the Kaldana believe they can crack the encryption with time and resources, and maybe they can."
Kira reviewed what she knew. "So the Kaldana want to steal the cube. The droid Gotra want it back so they can complete the transaction and get the encryption key. And Lady Proxima wants it so she can mark it up and resell it. And all of them want us dead."
"You forgot the Empire," Tool said. "They want it back too. I'm not certain they know about you three yet. But based on the chatter I'm hearing over the HoloNet, they've managed to track their prodigal engineer here to Corellia."
Su'ulo swore. Han said,
"Yeah, We noticed there were a lot more stormtroopers hanging around these days.
Kira was developing a strong opinion about what to do next.
Please give the cube to me, Tool said.
But it was not that.
The droid Gotra won the bid, he added. Let us complete the deal as agreed.
No way, Kira said. The White Worms and the Kaldona would never forgive us. We'd have bounties on our heads for the rest of our short lives. Su'ulo disengaged his datapad from the droid and closed Tool's access compartment. The Rodian boy stood and began chattering at them, waving his datapad in the air.
Su'ulo votes for returning the data cube to the engineer, Han said. Starting over. That way we're not stealing it from anyone. We're actually salvaging the deal.
That was exactly what Kira had been thinking.
But I'm not so sure, Han added. I really don't like the idea of that cube getting into Kaldana hands, or the hands of any of the syndicates. If the deal starts all over, who knows which players would come to the table? The droid Gotra might be the best option. I mean, it's for a good cause, right?
Kira stared at him. He'd said Gotra correctly for the first time, which meant he was deadly serious. Su'ulo argued back, clearly disagreeing.
Well, I don't know about the other droids, Han said. But Tool is my friend, and he's no terrorist. I don't think he'd even be part of a group like that.
If we salvage this deal, Kira said, the Gotra has a chance to come back and bid again. They might still end up with the cube. Since we're White Worms, Lady Proxima gets credit for making things right. That would take some heat off, yes? The engineer ends up owing us a favor. I don't know about the Kaldona, but salvaging the deal gets at least a couple of groups off our backs. Han rubbed at his jaw. He was exhausted. Kira could see it in his eyes.
Our odds of survival would go way up, he said.
I thought you didn't want to know the odds, Kira said.
Only after I've decided to do something, he said.
If you agree, Tool said, that you will not deliver the cube to the Kaldana or the White Worms, I will get word out through my contacts in the Gotra that you're interested in talking to the engineer.
Kira looked to Han, who nodded, then to Su'ulo, who said, something...
Idea.
Something, something...
Agree.
All right, she said. Let's do it.
There, Tool said. Already done.
He had regained some mobility, so he leaned over and used a pincer extension to grab his dismembered welder from the floor.
If we get out of this alive, Han said, I can come back and reattach that for you.
No need, Tool said. My friends in the Gotra will handle it. They'll hook up the Hollow Flames enhancement too. We take good care of each other in the Gotra. We don't need organics at all anymore.
Something about that didn't sit right with Kira, but there was no time to dwell on it because Tool said,
I just got an alert back. Imperial troops are approaching this facility.
Han and Kira jumped to their feet as Su'ulo loosed a string of expletives. What do we do? Kira said. My plan for getting out of here didn't include stormtroopers.
Screw the plan, said Han. We run like hell.
No, wait. Tool said the Empire might not know about us. Tool, why are they here? The droid lumbered to his feet. He was even taller than Kira expected. No wonder they'd had such trouble heaving him onto his side. He listed to the left a little. It was clear that Su'ulo's patch to Tool's servomotor cable was merely that. A patch.
I don't know for certain why they're here, Tool said. But one possibility is they tracked the cube to this location, where the exchange went down.
Su'ulo threw his datapad into his pack and slung it over his shoulder. Han and Kira pulled their goggles back on and flipped their hoods over their heads.
Moloch and Rebolt are prowling the sewers, Han said. They'll recognize us no matter what we're wearing. We can't go that way.
On the other hand, if we go up top, Kira added, there's a chance everyone will think we're just normal factory workers.
Turn right out of the lift, Tool said. Follow the corridor to Building 3 and exit out the south entrance. Building 3 houses the smelter. It's the most poorly guarded building in the foundry complex. Organics and droids both hate being in that place.
Thanks, Tool, Han said, already heading for the door.
Kira and Saulo close behind.
Hurry,
Tool called to their backs.
And you should know, the engineer is not actually on Corellia.
Kira spun back around. What?
She has eyes on the ground. Another ridiculous metaphor. The eyes would get stepped on and smashed if they were on the floor. But she would never risk landing. She's somewhere above the planet, ready to flee at a moment's notice. So if you want to meet with her, you'll have to go off-world.
Han gasped. Kira had no idea how to get off-world, or how they would make contact with the engineer in the first place. One thing at a time. Come on! She grabbed Han's sleeve and yanked him through the door. Chapter 12. The skin of Han's face started to burn with heat even before they'd entered Building 3 with its resident smelter. Or maybe his cheeks were just warm from hearing those precious, golden words. You'll have to go off-world. Han wasn't sure why the thought made his heart race, but it did. Kira reached the door first. It slid open, and hot air poured out, so hot it pushed her hair back. They stepped cautiously inside. Tool was right. This building was not heavily guarded. Probably because no one came here if they could help it. In the center of the room was a giant silo at least 4 stories high. Cartloads of scrap traveled on a conveyor toward the silo and up a steep ramp to the lip, where they were automatically tipped, emptied, then swiped to the side to make room for the next carts. Pipes along the ceiling fed the smelter with oxidation materials. From the round portal at the base of the silo poured glowing molten ore in 2 streams, a wider one for good ore, and a smaller one for slag. The aqueducts bisected the building floor, traveling away from the smelter and under the wall, into another building. Han knew the liquid ore was cooled into sheets, which could be stamped and pressed and molded into all sorts of starship components. He could guess where the slag aqueduct led, probably to the river and eventually the ocean. Dumping into the water was supposedly illegal on Corellia, but all the factories did it. Workers stood on a catwalk above the molten rivers, using long prods to check for impurities. They wore shiny protective helmets and the thickest gloves Han had ever seen. They moved slowly and methodically, working in total silence, as though their hearts and minds were elsewhere. And they probably were. Factory workers used to make a decent living, but now that the Empire had nationalized shipbuilding, everyone was barely scraping by. Han guessed that most in this very room were involved in smuggling and black market trading, just to make ends meet. Smuggling had become the only way for honest people to make a decent living around here. That meant Corellian lives were going to get even worse if the Kaldana pirates got hold of that shield tech. Maybe giving it to the droids really was the right thing to do. A droid with repulsor lift technology and multiple dangling appendages floated around the side of the silo, checking gauges and making adjustments. Han wondered if it was part of the Gotra, too. How far did their influence reach, exactly? How many members of the droid Gotra were on Corellia now?
Over here, Kira said, pointing. That's the door Tool mentioned.
It was all the way across the room. There were 2 ways to get there. One was to cross via the catwalk, which was occupied by workers who would most definitely sound the alarm if outsiders ran past. The other way to get there was by double jumping over the aqueducts.
It's not a bad jump,
Saulo said, as if reading Han's thoughts.
Big leap, careful landing, small leap. Easy.
Yeah, Han said. Easy.
Though, of course, if any of them misjudged it, they'd sink into liquid metal and burn alive. They wouldn't even have time to drown. I don't see any sentries, Kira said. But that droid up there might be a problem.
We'll approach slow. Then jump over the outtakes and sprint for the door, Han said.
I say we take our chances with the smelter workers.
Without waiting to see if he agreed, she began walking toward the catwalk stairs.
Han caught up to her, grabbed the sleeve of her cloak, and whipped her around.
Kira, if one of them panics...
The door behind them flew open. Han barely had time to register a sea of shiny white armor and heavy blasters before he was rushing headlong toward the molten streams.
The footsteps of his friends followed close at his heels.
Halt!
Someone said, the voice filtered and mechanical.
You're wanted for questioning.
Han leaped over the first aqueduct. His skin felt like it was on fire as he flew through the air. He landed hard, falling to his knees on purpose, rather than allow his momentum to carry him right into the second aqueduct.
A body slammed into his back, Saulo, pushing him forward.
Han grappled at the edge of the second aqueduct to keep from toppling in.
Heat seared his driving gloves, scalded his skin. Molten metal flowed and bubbled and spurted less than a meter from his face. Hands yanked him back, saving him.
On your feet,
Kira ordered. She pulled at his arms until he got his legs under him. Han expected to feel blaster fire in his back any second. Still, he paused to help Saulo gather his pack, which had slipped from the Rodian's shoulder.
Let's go,
he said, and the three of them leaped over the slag aqueduct and sprinted for the south exit. A laser bolt exploded into the doorway ahead of them, leaving a huge blackened dent. They stopped in their tracks.
I said halt,
came the voice again.
Put your hands up.
Still facing their exit and freedom, they did as asked, putting their hands in the air. Kira whispered, What now, improvised guy?
I could use a good idea, plan everything, girl, he whispered back.
To their right, the workers on the catwalk had fallen to their knees, where they cowered, hands over their heads. The maintenance droid continued to whirl around the silo, oblivious to everything.
Turn around. Slowly, said the stormtrooper.
Don't, Kira said.
Maybe we should cooperate, Han started to say.
If they were going to shoot us, they would have done it by now, she whispered, low and fast. They missed on purpose. They do not want us to go out that door, but they do want us alive and conscious.
The stormtrooper yelled,
I said turn around, now.
Think we should make a run for it? Han asked.
Definitely. Saulo said,
I'm not sure that door will open. It got hit hard.
What did he say? Kira asked Han.
He said, run.
As one, they burst forward, legs pumping as fast as they could go. Blaster fire erupted all around them. Han desperately hoped Kira was right, that the stormtroopers were missing on purpose. Saulo tried to palm the door open. It didn't budge. He tried again. Another blast crashed into the wall near their heads. One of the workers screamed. Han leaped forward and kicked the door as hard as he could. It groaned open with a metal-scraping metal sound Han felt deep in his throat. The three of them exploded through the door and into the darkness of night and its open, icy air. And right into the arms of five stormtroopers.
Let me go!
Kira yelled, clawing with hands and feet, while Saulo and Han tried to shake their own captors. The barrel of a blaster pressed firm and cold into Han's temple. He went utterly still. Blasters were similarly pointing at the others. Han watched as Kira stopped fighting, took a quick, composing breath, and then stared straight ahead, hands folded in front of her. Please don't shoot us, she said with preternatural calm. We'll cooperate.
Yes, what she said, Han agreed. We'll cooperate.
One of the stormtroopers circled around to close the door they just exited through, then took up a guard position. Leftward, toward Building 2, was a swath of paver lit by a floodlight. The stormtroopers were not moving them into the light. Something about all that was strange, but the blaster at Han's head made it hard to think. Another stormtrooper stepped forward. He looked exactly the same as the others, except for an orange pauldron on one shoulder.
I have something for you,
the stormtrooper said.
And he held out an object to Kira.
What is it? She asked, not moving to take it. The item was small, fitting easily in the palm of his gloved hand.
A message, courtesy of the engineer.
Han gasped. Slowly, her eyes not leaving the stormtrooper's helmet, Kira took the item from his hand.
The engineer has been watching you,
he said.
She sends her regards, and she very much hopes you will be amenable to her message. Further, she hopes that you will not disseminate the method of the message's delivery. Not ever. Not to anyone.
With that, the stormtroopers pulled their blasters back, turned, and disappeared into the darkness.
What just happened? Han breathed.
Kira stared down at the thing in her hand.
Seems like the engineer still has secret friends among her former employer, she said.
It makes sense, I guess. She would never have defected without a solid plan. And that includes well-placed loyal contacts. It's what I'd do.
What did he give you?
Tsulo asked, pointing to her hand.
I think it's a holoprojector, she said.
What does it say?
Tsulo said. At the same moment, Han said,
Well, turn it on.
Not yet, she replied, glancing around. They were at the edge of the foundry complex, out of sight of any floodlights. Those stormtroopers worked for the engineer, but I'm sure more are on their way. We need to get undercover. For the first time, Han felt that they might have a chance of getting out of this mess alive. The engineer had contacted them, in a way that proved she was even more powerful than they'd realized. She could help them if she wanted to, or she could easily have them killed. They'd just have to get on her good side.
Back to the safe house, he said.
Back to the safe house, she agreed. I know you're tired. Think you can handle driving the speeder back to the bottoms?
Always.
Chapter 13 Kira loved the freighter boneyard at night. The croaking bilge frogs and creaking metal, the slap of wings on water, the pale moonlight against rusting hulks, the briny smell of fresh water meeting salt as the land sloped toward the ocean that she knew lay just over the horizon. More than anything, she loved the huge, ugly tree clinging stubbornly to her hill, and the way its roots had a strangling grip on the skeleton of her freighter. That tree was a survivor. Her tree, her hill, her freighter skeleton. This time, as they drove up to it in their stolen speeder, she was glad to have company, to share this place with... Well, she wasn't ready to say they were friends, exactly, but Han and Saulo were okay to have around in a pinch.
We're going to have a frost tonight,
Han said as he parked the speeder. He blew on his hands as they all hurried inside her safe house.
Kira lit the lamp, noticing that the power was low. It would need a recharge soon.
They huddled around the lamp at the table. Kira pulled out the holoprojector and set it before them. She was about to thumb it on when she noticed Saulo shivering violently.
You okay there, pal?
Han said. Saulo blurted something, but Kira only caught the word for cold. She grabbed the blanket from her cot and whipped it around his shoulders. I wish we had more food, she said.
I always wish I had more food, Han grumbled.
It's hard to keep warm when your body isn't getting any energy, she said. And then she wondered if she'd given too much away, approached her secrets a little too closely. Saulo chattered at them, and Kira didn't have to understand Hatties to know that his words were jumbling together. Something was wrong.
He's sorry to be a bother, Han said. But Rodians don't do so well with the cold, apparently. Something about the Rodian homeworld being hot, I don't know. He's not making much sense.
I have a space heater, Kira said, rummaging on the top shelf. It's small, and it doesn't hold a charge long, but it might warm us up for an hour or two. Enough to keep him from going into hypothermia. She found the heater, placed it on the table in front of Saulo, and flicked it on. It glowed against Saulo's face, turning his skin almost yellow. He sighed happily. Between the lamp and the space heater, the safe house was as bright as it had ever been. For the first time, she noticed the skin of Han's face. It was bright red, as if he'd been standing in the sun for hours, all except for huge white circles around his eyes where his goggles had been.
"What are you staring at?"
he said. "Your face," she said. "It looks burned."
"Oh, that. Yeah, it feels like it's going to crack. I got too close to the slag outtake."
"It's going to peel off in a day or two," Kira said. "Unless we can find some Bacta cream."
"At least I'll be harder to recognize with my face peeling away."
"Good point," she said, reaching for the holoprojector.
"Wait, what's that?"
Han said, pointing to her right hand. She saw her fingers through his eyes. They were bruised and swollen, especially the second knuckle of her middle finger. It throbbed something awful, but she didn't think it was broken. Besides, she'd had worse. Kira shrugged. "From when I punched Rizzo. I told you it hurt." Next time she wanted to hit someone, she'd remember to use a wrench or something instead. Su'ulo jabbered at them, pointing to the holoprojector. "Okay, okay, here we go," Kira said, thumbing it on. A figure popped up from the projector, limed and blue, barely taller than Kira's table lamp. A female biped. She was too tiny, and the holoprojector didn't give them enough detail to identify her species with certainty. Which was probably by design, Kira figured. All they could tell was that she was slender, with long, sweeping robes and a heavy cowl that completely covered her features. Her hands were clasped in front of her, and she bowed slightly, inclining her head just so.
"Greetings," she said.
"Greetings," Kira replied. Her heart was in her throat. She was talking to an Imperial defector, someone who was in the starry sky somewhere above them. It made her head swim.
"I expected this first attempt at an auction to have complications," she said. "I even expected to have to sacrifice some assets. But I did not expect my data cube to end up in the hands of three young scoundrels."
"Scoundrels?" Han said, appearing affronted, though Kira had a funny feeling he was pleased.
"You went to a lot of trouble and risk to contact us," Kira pointed out. The figure in blue waved a dismissive hand.
"I've had eyes on the ground the whole time, of course, and a tracker in that cube. That's another thing I didn't expect. For my cube to end up in Corellia's infamous freighter boneyard, where starships go to die."
Su'ulo drew in breath. Han and Kira exchanged an alarmed glance. The engineer knew exactly where they were. Then why wasn't she sending her pet stormtroopers after them? Why wasn't she taking the data cube back by force? Kira had the answer almost as soon as her mind formed the question. Because it was unique. She had defected from the Empire. That meant she couldn't leave copies behind. The data cube contained her life's work, and she was worried they might destroy it. It's why the stormtroopers at the Foundry had missed with their blasters. They didn't want to damage the cube. "If you come after us," Kira said, "we'll smash the cube to smithereens." The figure nodded.
"I've no doubt."
"But we don't want to do that," Kira added hastily. "We'd rather agree to a better arrangement."
"I'm glad to hear it," the engineer said.
Her voice was low and husky, but it had a mechanical quality. Kira didn't know enough about holoprojectors to tell if it was merely a function of long-distance communication, or if the engineer was altering her voice on purpose. Kira wasn't sure what to say next, and she was a little irritated, a little relieved when Han jumped in with,
"So, should we meet up or something?"
"What for?" the engineer said carefully.
She was being cautious, Kira realized. She wasn't as poised and confident as she appeared. Kira smiled. "We want to give the cube back to you, but only you, not an emissary. We've been running for our lives, you see, and I'm not sure you understand how difficult trust can be in these situations."
Han was giving her a strange look. "You're really good at this," he whispered.
"I would love to see my cube again," the engineer said, I'd be happy to provide escort for you to my ship.
You would? Kira said. I mean, that's good.
On one condition, said the engineer.
There's always a catch, Han mumbled.
You must do something for me first, to prove you're legitimate. A tiny favor.
Su'ulo let his head fall to the table in despair. Even Han slumped over, saying,
A tiny favor? Yeah, I bet.
Kira wanted to scream with frustration. They'd been through so much already. What more did she want? But another part of her acknowledged the engineer's sound strategy. In her place, Kira would require a loyalty test, too. Or at least a competency test. Kira felt weariness in her very bones. Just tell us what you want, she ordered.
The Empire tracked me here to the Corellia system, the engineer explained. I sent one of my crew members planetside to gather supplies, and Korsak recognized him and arrested him. He's being kept in a holding cell in downtown Coronet City.
Su'ulo swore, and even though his voice was muffled by the blanket, the sound must have carried, because the engineer said,
Your Rodian friend is... colorful.
You want us to retrieve your crew member? Han gasped.
I do.
How? Kira said. You can't just walk into a holding area and grab a prisoner.
I'll provide uniforms and identity chips that will get you through the door, she said. The rest will be up to you. You three have proven very resourceful so far. I think your chances of success are... acceptable.
That didn't sound good at all. What about your stormtrooper friends? Kira said. They seem pretty loyal to you. The engineer's chest rose and fell with a deep, controlling breath.
I'm sure a smart girl like you understands how imperative it is to use one's assets strategically and with circumspection.
Kira's eyes narrowed as she puzzled that one out.
You... can't risk using them too often? She guessed.
Exactly. They veered off patrol once already today. Several of them discharged their blasters. It will be weeks, maybe months, before I can use them again without risking their posts. And I need them to stay right where they are, safe and above suspicion.
Han crossed his arms over his chest and frowned.
This seems like a very bad idea.
If you do this for me, the engineer said, I'll arrange passage to my ship. Get all three of you safely off-world.
Han sat up a little straighter, his eyes wide. How will you deliver uniforms and identity chips? Kira asked.
I'll give you the coordinates for a drop location. It will be someplace out of the way. I'll throw in a little surprise.
I hate surprises, Kira said.
You'll like this one. It's something I cooked up in the lab. Should come in handy.
Kira looked to Han and Su'ulo. What do you think? She said. Su'ulo nodded,
yes,
saying something that sounded affirmative.
It's our best shot, Han said. I've been in lockup a few times myself. I know my way around the place.
Then we're agreed, Kira said. Give us the coordinates of the drop point, and all the information you can about the holding area, and we'll get your crew member back.
I dare not risk using the holonet, she said. So everything you need will be left at the drop point.
She rattled off a set of coordinates, which Su'ulo typed into his datapad. That meant they'd have to retrieve the engineer's resources and then make a plan. Kira would just have to work with that.
We have a deal, she said.
The engineer inclined her head in acknowledgement, and the hologram winked out. The three of them were silent a long moment. The lamp on the table sputtered. Not much time left before it went out completely.
Well, that was interesting,
Han said. I guess, said Kira.
You can come up with a plan, right?
He said.
No problem?
Sure, she said weakly. No problem.
The truth was she was exhausted and hungry and totally out of her league. A weight pressed on her shoulders, crushing her down, making her feel small and helpless. She hated that feeling.
You knew exactly what to say to her,
Han marveled.
You're a natural at... well, not at talking to people in general. You're too stuck up and detached for that.
It's a wonder you don't have more friends, as encouraging as you are.
What I mean is you're really good at the business side of things. And you sound like all those...
He waved a hand in a vague gesture.
The important people. You're a player, Kira, just like them.
Thanks, I think. But a little of that weight lifted, making her feel as though she could breathe. Saulo said something about sleep.
Yeah, maybe a couple of hours, Han suggested.
The little Rodian hunched under his blanket, his bad antenna nearly flat against his head, as he studied the coordinates on his data pad. He had to be just as exhausted as they were, maybe more so, given his difficulty with cold temperatures. Poor guy. She and Han had dragged him into this mess, and he had never once complained. Saulo, Kira said, you don't have to do this.
Yeah, none of this is your fault, Han agreed.
He looked up at them, blinking his huge black eyes in confusion. I mean, if you just want to stay here, Kira said. While Han and I get the engineer's crew member, that's fine. We shouldn't have forced you to be part of all this, and... well, I'm sorry. Saulo responded with rapid-fire words, and Kira was pretty sure she'd made him angry.
He says of course he's coming along, Han translated. He's in it for the long haul now. Besides, you and I are...
Han's voice trailed off.
What?
What did he say? Kira demanded. Saulo gestured at Han to keep translating.
He says you and I are his friends. And Saulo never turns his back on his friends.
Oh, Kira said. She could feel her face, her heart, her soul freezing solid, tight, impenetrable. Then Saulo smiled, that ridiculous Rodian grin that could only ever reach about the width of 3 human fingers. And Kira realized with a thud in her chest that she liked the little fellow. She enjoyed his company.
These past couple of days would have been unbearable without him.
And without Han. She cleared his throat. Han avoided their gazes, looking as uncomfortable as she felt. Well, Saulo, she said at last. I can see why you and I are friends, but I have no idea why you'd want to be friends with that guy. She thumbed in Han's direction.
Hey,
Han said, though he was smiling. Saulo laughed. Then he said something else that made Han frown. What? Kira prompted.
He says everything will be fine. The Force is with him.
Huh. I guess I'll take first watch, Kira said.
Wake me in an hour,
Han said, already heading toward the cot. After everyone had napped, they jumped into the speeder, and Saulo directed them to the coordinates of the engineer's drop location. They skimmed across the freighter boneyard to the edge of the swamp, where the freshwater bog gave way to salt marsh. Muddy estuaries swirled through wind-blown grass, appearing as silver ribbons in the moonlight. Night fishers soared overhead, occasionally diving into the water. Scavenge droids on long stilts waded through the water looking for salvage and recyclables. The three of them crested a small rise, and suddenly the sea stretched before them, a vast black expanse frothing with white. Saulo directed Han to stop. A few meters more and they'd meet the cold sand and rock of Coronet's harsh shoreline. To their left, a wide creek emptied into the ocean, the surface oily with darkness and... something else. The wind blew into their faces, and Kira nearly choked.
What is that horrible smell? Han said.
Kira drew the lapel of her jacket over her mouth, but it did little good. The air was thick with sweet rot and sour garbage, and something far, far worse. It was so strong it made her eyes sting.
Follow.
Su'ulo said something that made Han gasp.
He says it's sewage, Han told her. But that's not right. We practically live in the sewers, and it never smells this bad.
Actually, I think it might, Kira said. We've been topside for more than a day. Our noses have readjusted.
Han gaped at her.
You mean the white worm lair smells like this all the time? That means we probably smell like this all the time.
You know what they say. You can smell a white worm coming a click away.
It made her wonder how much perfume had originally been on the clothes that Lady Proxima left for her.
Well, let's grab the engineer's package and get out of here quick.
Su'ulo led them to a small mound of rocks and sand and gravel, piled up like a cairn. The speeder headlamps lit the space as the three of them set to work clearing it away, and Kira found herself moving too slowly, the weight of her thoughts making her sluggish. The truth was, she didn't want to stink like a latrine. She didn't want to be dirty all the time. She didn't want to crash back into the dark sewers when she'd had a taste of open air and fancy clothes and beautiful hotels and the attention of powerful people who believed she had something to say.
There,
Han said.
A cargo crate.
They opened it. True to the engineer's word, the crate contained three neatly folded uniforms, counterfeit identichips, and a handful of credits.
I don't see the one thing I was really looking for, Han said.
What's that? Kira asked.
A portable shower.
She wrinkled her nose in sympathy. There's a spot back that way with fresh water. Han regarded her skeptically. Well, fresh water at any rate. We can clean up there a bit. Su'ulo pulled two small round items from the crate. Kira didn't recognize them. He held one up and twittered a question. It fit in the palm of his hand like a children's toy ball, but its metal casing glittered in the light of the speeder's headlamps.
I don't know, Han said. There's a button right there. What does it do?
Su'ulo was about to press it, but Kira yelled, No! He froze. The engineer said she was leaving a surprise for us, she explained. What if it's a weapon of some kind? Han moved closer and peered at the thing in Su'ulo's hand.
Maybe it's a thermal detonator. I've heard about those.
Su'ulo handed it to Han, who turned it over, studying it from all angles. Meanwhile, Su'ulo retrieved his data pad and began shifting through information. He made a noise of discovery and held the pad for Han and Kira to see. It displayed an image of something similar. Small, round, and metal, with a button on one side. It was labeled Stun Grenade.
This will come in handy, Han said with a grin.
Then his grin slowly disappeared, as though he were realizing something unpleasant.
She probably gave us two, in case we stunned ourselves by pressing the button on the first one.
I think the engineer designed these herself, Kira said. It's probably not your everyday stun grenade.
There's an everyday kind,
Han said, and Kira shrugged. Su'ulo pulled a uniform from the crate and flipped it out. It was made of stiff, light gray material, with a high collar and a matching small-brimmed hat. Then Su'ulo swore, loudly and at length.
Kira, we have a problem, Han said. These uniforms say Sinar Advanced Projects Laboratory.
Blast, Kira said, immediately beginning to revise all the plans she'd been considering. She'd heard the name Sinar plenty of times, but Advanced Projects Laboratory was new. I'm not sure that company exists on Corellia, she said.
Some kind of engineering corporation, right?
Han said. Maybe. The three of them could never pass as scientists. They were way too young. Su'ulo waved his datapad at them, chittering in Huttese.
Oh, hell, Han said.
What?
What is it? Kira demanded.
Su'ulo just plugged in our destination coordinates from the engineer. Her crew member isn't sitting in a drunk tank or any regular lockup, Han said. He's in an Imperial holding cell.
Kira's breath caught. You were right, Han. This favor for the engineer definitely has a catch.
some catch.
Then we'll have to get creative, won't we? She said. Wait, what's that?
Saulo had pulled three metallic items from the bottom of the crate. They were tube-shaped, with two protrusions along one side, and a tiny grate along the other. They were small enough to stash in a pocket.
Those are breathers, Hans said. I'm sure of it.
Kira stared. Why would we need... Oh. She looked from the breathers to the stun grenades and back again.
Those aren't stun grenades, she said, smiling.
A plan was definitely forming.
There's something better.
Chapter 14. Hans' face hurt like blazes. More than anything, he just wanted to let clean, cold water run over it. The pain from the burn was more serious than he'd let on, and it likely looked even worse. He'd be sure to attract attention. Then again, he'd seen a few aliens with red skin. Maybe people would believe he was not quite human. He was eager to change into the stolen uniform. His current clothes were filthy, damp, and cold. They'd scrubbed up at the place Kira recommended, but there was only so much they could do without dumping their old clothes. Despite that, Kira was resolute about not putting on the uniforms until they were near the holding facility. We shouldn't be seen wearing fancy lab uniforms while riding in this... thing, she said, indicating the speeder. It would look suspicious. She was right. So Han concentrated on piloting, while Saulo and Kira pored over a map of the holding area on his data pad. Kira had sketched out a plan for them, and Han thought it just might work. It seemed simple and elegant to Han. All they had to do was lie really, really well. Easy, right? The typical gloomy Corellian sky was back in force, but morning light cracked the horizon, painting the polluted clouds fuchsia and sapphire. Bilious exhaust rose from smokestacks in black silhouette against the sunshine. Lights from rusty boats glinted off the waterways as fishmongers brought their early morning hauls to the fish markets. They crossed a bridge into central Coronet, and Kira directed Han to an underground public parking facility, which would cost them a few of the precious credits the engineer had given them. They stowed the speeder and changed into their uniforms under cover of darkness, each giving the others privacy. Kira patted her uniform down, adjusted the collar, and said, "So, do I look like someone who does business with Imperials?"
"Well, you certainly look imperious," Han said,
and she rolled her eyes at him. The truth was she looked amazing, sophisticated and strong, like she was meant to wear such things. Han looked away before his thoughts could betray him.
"Do we walk from here?"
Saulo pointed toward one of the exits.
"The address is 1 Corset Plaza. It's not far. According to my map, a pedestrian walkway will take us from the parking structure to Peace and Security Headquarters.
All we have to do is figure out which part of the building houses the Imperial holding block," Kira said. "Then we walk right in."
She sounded like she didn't have a worry in the world, but Han knew her a little better now. When Kira threw her head back like that, lifted her chin, and looked down on everyone else, it meant she was nervous.
With luck, no one else here would know her as well as he did.
Despite his own jitters, no one paid them any mind as they exited the parking structure and walked along the pedestrian path. Police speeders passed them, returning to headquarters after a long shift. A few stormtroopers flew by on speeder bikes, cutting in and out of traffic as though they owned the thoroughfare. They reached an imposing white building, fronted by vast marble steps. Thick columns rose on either side of the entrance, some kind of architectural homage to a distant history. Even though it was early morning, the area was heavy with foot traffic, mostly humans, but a few other species as well. As they mounted the steps, Han reminded himself that the entry and lobby area of Peace and Security Headquarters was public property. Anyone could go inside. All they had to do was blend in with everyone else, keep from being recognized. A swaggering Celestin pilot bumped into Han as he passed. Fighting his first instinct to turn and, well, fight, Han looked away quickly and pulled the brim of his hat lower to cover his face. "I'm not sure wearing your hat so low is regulation," Kira whispered.
"Regulations are stupid," Han began.